Agoten Erev Shabbos, everybody. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shir number 184. We're going to talk today about how your mind chooses to enjoy what you do. That's one of the most empowering ideas, self-empowering ideas of happy, fulfilling life, that it's up to your own mind to choose to enjoy what you do. This, by the way, what I just said, is something that does not come natural to most people. It doesn't come natural to me. It's really a change of a lifelong habit for me of decades. And for many of you, it's probably also going to be a transformational thing because a lot of us do not believe this. We sort of not accept this. If I don't enjoy something, I don't enjoy something. If I really dislike doing something, I dislike doing something, period. This concept that you could, and you do this with things that you have to do. See, when you something inherently you don't enjoy, and it's not a mitzvah, and it's not your tchunas hanefesh, and you don't have to do it in life, then there's no reason that you should strive to do something like that. It's normal. Sometimes you enjoy things, some things you don't. So what you don't enjoy that's not mandatory for mitzvahs or for life, that then those you could sort of move away from and gravitate to the healthy things that you're interested in. But there are many things in life, and in Torah and mitzvahs too, when you're trying to perform Torah and mitzvahs and certain things where we don't enjoy or we haven't enjoyed for many, many years. And for that, we are talking now that we do have the ability to change that lifelong habit and start enjoying it. Because people who do what they love to do will find greater fulfillment in what they are doing. They'll develop greater skill and they'll enjoy the entire process. So whenever possible, you could choose to do what you love to do and find ways to accomplish and achieve by doing meaningful things that you love to do. Meaningful things to find may not be easy or may be easy. Sometimes you have to be creative. So the first thing to do is that with anything that seems uninteresting or boring at first, ask yourself, how can I find a way to enjoy what I need to do? And you work towards making it more meaningful. Ask yourself, for example, what are some of the ways I can think about this task that will enable me to enjoy what I am doing? Who is benefiting from what I'm doing? How is this developing my skill and talent? How can I gain from what I'm doing? How can I creatively use my imagination to enjoy this? So let's pick an example, doing laundry. Doing laundry, for many people, is very monotonous. In Baruch Hashem, we have machines now, so it's much, much easier than it was before. We had washing machines and dryers. We were extremely more tedious and time-consuming. But it's still a pain for many, putting it in, detergent, making sure it's good, and the folding and this, all of that stuff is monotonous for many. The reframing of it, first of all, you could do it every time. If that itself is not pleasant for you, you could accompany in it with listening to music or a shir. That's one way of making it enhanced. Another way of enhancing it is you imagine as you're putting it in there that just like it's a remez to cleaning aveiros, right? We have maybe spots in our neshama that we do tshuva on, and Hashem, we say slach lanu, and we do tshuva, Hashem wipes it away. So it's a symbolism of tshuva. So what you're doing there is you're symbolizing by cleaning the clothing for Hashem to clean our sins. Or the havas chesed chinam. You are, if you're the wife or the husband, whoever's doing the laundry at the time, is doing a chesed, to chesed chinam, of providing clean, fresh clothing. Just like Hashem created those fresh clothing with the Anania covered, that even the same clothing got laundered and got clean and fresh. So we're doing the same thing. We're doing that chesed. These type of thoughts, these type of reframing will make something seemingly mundane and uninteresting to be more inspiring. Washing dishes, same idea. You can listen to music or shiurim while you do it, recognizing you're doing a chesed, and also as the dirt, again, some people have dishwashers, but so it's a matter of putting it in the dishwashers and just having this machshava when you do that. But and then when you take it out or when you're actually washing things of the dishes and things like that is to enjoy as the dirt comes off, like your aveiros come off, or keeping clean. You could reframe it. It's helpful to find people who actually enjoy things that they need to do. And you can learn from the way they look at tasks and interview them. How do you develop this geschmack for doing these things that for most people seem mundane or difficult? And if you don't yet enjoy what you have to do and do it anyway, and you play a game with yourself. You imagine, here's one example, you imagine a nace happened, Hashem blessed you with the ability to love this task. Imagine that you have a bracha to have great feelings to actually find this to be fun. And let's say you say to yourself, and you're thinking to yourself, well, I can't do that. If I don't enjoy doing something, I don't enjoy doing something. I'm not going to fool myself. So it's not a matter of fooling yourself. Don't fool yourself. Just understand that we as human beings have that capacity to learn to enjoy things that we didn't enjoy in the beginning. And imagine being promised a tremendous amount of money if you start enjoying doing something that you didn't enjoy doing. A brain scan will confirm that you really enjoy doing it. So why not imagine that you're enjoying something, especially if it's healthy and productive to do? Same thing with a wealthy person. A real wealthy person who lacks happiness and joy would trade a chelik of his wealth for happiness and joy. You know, you have these margins that wouldn't, but many, many would. And if you would want to spend a lot of money to have that enjoyment, allow yourself to do it. Allow yourself to master that feeling of happiness and joy in order to do this. Okay, some people might fear that they will get stuck doing things that they don't like to do. But in reality, it's the opposite. People who learn to love what they do will find it easy to find ways to do what they love. And be patient working on developing this attitude and mind skill. It may take time to master the skill. And when you do master it, you'll find it yourself living a much happier, joyful life. It's with the, you know, with a husband, let's say, the wife is away a little bit and he's taking care of the children, the young toddlers. He's usually not thrilled about the experience. He could reframe his mind and really start enjoying it. So here is an example that I want to share that Rav Zalatuskin brings down. That's so important because it talks about something that one wouldn't normally enjoy that created a sipek ha-nefesh once they were in it and really felt it was rewarding. And that's about caregiving very often, you know, with elderly parents. Sometimes you have to, you know, arrange other outside help outside the home where they live and so on and so forth. Sometimes you could bring them inside the home with outside help. Every matzav is different, you know. But here is one example he gives. A middle-aged caregiver for an elderly parent, a woman said this, had the following experience. She said as follows, I was a caregiver for an elderly parent. I always dreaded this. I was afraid that I would be tied down. I was afraid that I would be robbed of the ability to enjoy my life. I had worked very hard to reach a stage where I could afford to live as I wanted to live. For years, I've been careful with my money. I've saved so much, as much as I could, and I had a number of investments. Then my mother reached a stage where she could no longer live on her own. I could have placed my mother in a home for the elderly, but after thinking the matter over carefully, I decided the right thing to do was to take my mother into my home and be responsible for her well-being. And as you see soon, her husband was fully agreeable to this, and she was brought to their home. I realized I would have to take care of her around the clock. Of course, I would hire help, but the responsibility was on me. I would have to make certain someone was with her when I needed to leave the house. I thought this was a great sacrifice, but I was willing to do it, albeit reluctantly. And someone who had been in a similar situation said to me, "It's a wonderful thing that you have taken this task upon yourself. Some people who have done this complain a lot and look at the whole thing as an unpleasant burden. I know you will relate to what I tell you. This is a wonderful merit. You owe your entire life to your mother. Growing up, she did a lot for you, and you have the opportunity to repay her for her kindness. The work you will be doing is holy work. Appreciate it. Enjoy it. When you view this properly, you can be happy that you have given this wonderful way to elevate yourself. This will add meaning to your entire life." This was told to this caregiver. And the caregiver said, "I took these words to heart. And I surprised myself with how much I was able to enjoy them prior to the process. Yes, on one hand, it was a burden. It was an oil. On one hand, I reframed my mind of how fortunate I am, the mitzvahs, the elevation, and the meaningfulness of it. And I woke up each morning and I thought of how fortunate I was to be able to honor and respect my mother with my whole heart and my whole soul. My mother enjoyed music. And I had my mother's favorite music playing in our house as a background to all the work that I did. I'll mention just on a personal note, because I have a mother, Baruch Hashem, at this time of the recording. She's healthy and well, and she's Kanayin Ahara in her 70s. And I have a grandmother. She's alive and well, and she's in her mid-90s, needs care. And my mother in her 70s, the way she takes care with her sister of my grandmother is just beyond belief. The meaningfulness and what they do. So I see what I could relate to what they are saying here. I consider myself blessed that I was able to do this constant kindness. I appreciated my husband's attitude and mindset. His emotional support made everything so much easier. The years that my mother lived in my house were the highlight of my life, both spiritually and emotionally. I would love to pass on this outlook to others. I know that I live a more meaningful, happy life because of the precious spiritual opportunity. My fervent hope is that I can inspire other people to do the same. So this is a concept, by the way. When people find things in unpleasant, or they were placed in matzavim where they have to do what they believe is unpleasant things, to reframe it and to realize how you could reframe it in a beautiful way where you could actually enjoy things that initially till this point you did not have an enjoyment doing, and reframe it and develop a beautiful attitude towards it that will give you a lot of growth and tzipuka nefesh and simchas hachayim. And, you know, we always talk with Shalom Bayis because that's a big theme in the subjects that we talk about. Same idea. Husband and wife sometimes have to do tasks that are difficult, that their spouse wants them to do, that is a burden. So the bottom line is that a lot of these tasks that husbands know they need to do for their wives and wives for their husbands that initially or even right now they find burdensome or unpleasant, they could reframe it and make it extremely wonderful and pleasant. Of course, no spouse should burden the other one needlessly with things. They should make each other's life as much as pleasant as possible, not burdening each other, each one wanting to help and do their own thing as best as they could. But when things need to be done, the reframing of it in a beautiful way, you know, like Erev Shabbos also with the tenseness and the cooking and the baking and the cleaning and all this could be very tense, but the reframing of it, of knowing the schus of Shabbos and the beauty of Shabbos and the looking forward to it in a special way, brings all these things, tasks, more meaningful and more besimcha. You listen to Avram Fried's song based on Yontov Erlich's song, his original song, Shabbos Kodesh, you know, how everyone did their tasks with covered Shabbos. It's a beautiful song, and you feel the simcha in that song because it's a mitzvah, certainly when it's mitzvahs mamash, but every chesed that you do for somebody else, husband to wife, wife to husband, it's technically not, you could say it's not covered Shabbos, but l'maisa, it's a mitzvah, it's a b'nei l'chaveiro, v'haftorach ha'kamoicha, and it should fill a person with simcha as they're doing this. Bracha v'atzlacha.